But there's a lot going on in this world. And folks, there is a natural world. If I trip over that and fall, it's going to hurt. And there's a spiritual world. And that spiritual world is around us all the time. And sometimes that spiritual world is visible to the natural world. And that spiritual world is much stronger than falling and stumbling and the pains of this world and the cares of this world. That spiritual world is a supernatural, very powerful world. And the godless world, the devil leads a great powerful group. He's called the prince and power of the air. He leads a great power. But we serve a greater power. Don't never forget that. But here in these scriptures, we're seeing as he puts these things together, all these things that's taking place. Look in Revelation chapter 17. Let's look at verses 18 and 11. The beast that thou sawest was and is not and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit. Now, this is talking about the death, burial, and resurrection of the Antichrist. You remember last week I told you everything the Lord does, the devil likes to try to do it too. But he wants you to believe what he does more than he wants you to believe what God done. That's the reason he don't like for people to listen and hear the gospel today. Because once a person trusts the Lord Jesus Christ, he's lost them. But he likes this idea of mocking everything that God does. And the Bible says, and he shall ascend out of the bottomless pit. And where did he go? And go into perdition. Who was that that had their own place? Who was that son of perdition? It makes you think, don't it? I'm not going to say a few things because I want you to think. And I want you to kind of look at what the scriptures are saying. And he said, and going to perdition because he was not and he is and was not. Look what he says, and thou sawest and is not and shall ascend. He says, and they that dwell on the earth shall wonder. Now, the world in that day is going to be, they're going to be on drugs. They're going to be scared out of their mind. They're going to be deceived. The world is going to be in great chaos in that day. Remember we talked about 3 weeks ago how that the sorcerers, the drug dealers, is going to really be busy during that time because most people won't be able to bear what's going on without a double shot. We're almost seeing it today. There's a lot of people that can't cope with life today. But you turn the situation over to the Great Tribulation, and I'm sure it's going to take a few more shots than it does today. And he says, whose names were not written in the book of life and the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. See, he dies. He is. He's not. And he is. Just like the Lord, he was. And he was not, because he gave his life at Calvary. In 3 days he was out of sight. And then he came again in resurrection. The devil's going to try to do the very, very same thing. And he will do it and deceive the world. Look at the next verse. And there are 7 kings, 5 are fallen, and 1 is, and the other is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short place. Now that one we're going to deal with more when we get to Daniel chapter 8. And the beast that was and is not, even he is the 8th. And he is of the 7th and goeth into perdition. Did you see that again? So if we've got this right, Judas has at one point been a king. Now think about that. And the beast that was and is not, even he is the 8th. And he is of the 7th and goeth into perdition. So Judas has been in power before, but his name wasn't Judas when he was in power. His name was Judas when he was an apostle that walked with the Lord. But he's had other names through time. We might be able to figure that out. You remember the Syrian that we talked about? Keep your eye on that Syrian. It might be somebody we know. Now, keep that in mind, and let's go to Daniel chapter 2 in verse 44. In the days of these kings, again, the 10 toes, shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom. So we know these 10 kings is not something that's going to progress through time, but they're going to all be there at the same time. God's going to give them their power. They're going to give their power to the beast. They didn't even have a job, but God gave them a job. And they're going to be in power, these 10 kings, shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom. So when they are kings, the Lord's going to come in and set up his kingdom. So they're going to be kings right down to the end of the great tribulation, the very last part of it. He says, which shall never be destroyed. That's talking about the kingdom. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms and shall stand forever. Now, the kingdom of Israel has been left to others in the past, because we're studying Daniel, and the kingdom of Israel was given to Assyria and Judah was given to Babylon. And that's what he's talking about. It ain't going to happen no more. When God pulls it together and sets up his kingdom, it'll never be destroyed, and it's not going to be left to anybody else. The heirs to that kingdom will be possessing that kingdom. He says, but it will break into pieces and consume all these kingdoms. So the Lord's kingdom is going to destroy all these 10 kingdoms, and it's going to take place, and it shall stand forever. Now, notice what, in reference to that, let's look at chapter 7, verse 13 and 14. We're going to move forward just a little bit, and we're going to look at, because in the book of Daniel, the second coming of the Lord is talked about three times. It's talked about in chapter 2, chapter 7, and again, it's talked about it in chapter 8. He says, and I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of God, Son of Man, came in the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. Now, the Ancient of Days is a term that Daniel uses when he talks about the Lord. In the next verse, he says, and there was given to him dominion and glory and a kingdom. Notice that all people, nations, language should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, in his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. That's kind of mirroring what he said earlier in chapter 2 that we just read. He says it again with a little bit different words, but he calls him the Ancient of Days. He is called the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He is eternal. Notice that. And then he says in Daniel chapter 9, verse 24. Now this is the prophecies to keep in mind when you're studying Daniel chapter 9. You're studying the 70 weeks of Daniel's prophecy. And you think, well, how in the world can that work if it represents 490 years? But what the Lord does, it was at year 483 when the Lord was nailed to Calvary's cross. It like 7 years being fulfilled. And what the Lord does when Israel rejects God, he stops the calendar. He stops the clock. And that clock stopped right there. And then when the rapture takes place and the Lord begins to deal with Israel again during the Great Tribulation, the clock starts again. And those 7 years, the 70th week of Daniel's prophecy will kick in. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city, talking about Jerusalem, to finish the transgression. Now the transgression, Israel has not yet paid fully for their sins against God. And I wish we had time to go into this, but in Acts chapter 2, you need to read chapter 2 and chapter 3 and chapter 4, because it talks about when Israel's sins will be forgiven. Now, an individual Jew, when they get saved today, their sins are forgiven. They're under the blood. But the nation of Israel, their sins will not be forgiven until the Lord comes and sets up his new covenant with his people, Jeremiah chapter 31, 31, and then he will deal with the transgressions of his people, and they will be forgiven. But here he says to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins. Now, he's talking about a national sin, Israel as a nation. That's important. A lot of people get confused between an individual Jew and a nation of Jews. You've got to put it in its place. He said, and to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecies, and to anoint the most holy. The Lord will be crowned King of Kings and Lord of Lords when he sets up that kingdom. He will be the King of Kings. So this, again, is another way of Daniel helping us to understand about the second coming or the kingdom that the Lord is going to set up. Now, let's look in Zechariah chapter 14, verses 16 through 18. Anybody got a question right in there? Brother Bill.
Well, it ain't about this, but you said Judas had power. What power and when? At what time frame?
We're going to get into that. If I get into it tonight, well,
okay.
He's been a king. He was of the seven, and he's going to be the eighth. He's one of those. And we'll try to figure him out before this is over with. I can't tell you too much, Bill. I believe it overload him, don't you? No. He had power as a king. He wasn't called Judas then. He was an apostle.
Yeah.
And he had power then as an apostle. They was able to raise the dead and heal the sick at that time. But he had power as a king, Revelation chapter 7. Because he is ancient. If you get a chance, make a note of this. Psalms 109. And you need to read at least the first 15 verses. Because it tells about Judas. And it tells a little bit about this guy. But he is a devil. And a devil is different in many, many different ways. Because you're dealing with something there that is just almost eternal. It's just like termites. You can't get rid of them once you got them. To fulfill the scriptures. Prophetically, Psalms 109 had already been written by David. And 109 is talking about a deceiver that would come. And that had to take place because of this right here. The Lord came and presented himself as God's son, but he was rejected as God's son. And because Israel rejected him, he became a sacrifice for the sins of the world. So it really depended upon Israel rejecting God, God's son, and crucifying him, to make a way that we could be redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. So Judas was a part of that rejection because he betrayed him and turned him over to the officials, which gave him a mock trial, which was rejected by his people when they said, "Let his blood be upon us and upon our children." So the rejection was part of God's plan because he knew that Israel would reject him. So he chose the devil to help fulfill, just like he chose King Sihon earlier, he chose him to give Israel resistance to get into the promised land. And the Lord gave them those battles in the wilderness to get them ready for the battles when they crossed Jordan. You know, their first battle wasn't in Jordan when they crossed over. The Lord doesn't give them some battles before that. So it's part of God's plan to prepare us for the things down the road. Good question. Anything else? Well, again, it said, let another turn. I tell you what, let's go to Psalms 109. And everybody just turn over there. If Steve don't have time to get that, that's all right too. But Psalms 109. And I'll give you the verse. We don't have to cover the whole thing. Look at verse 8. Now, this is the prophecy of David, Psalms 109 and verse 8. Let his days be few. Now, his days was at least 3.5 years that he's talking about, his days holding the office. He said, let his days be few and let another take his office. Okay, that's what Peter had read that day, Barbara. He felt like that scripture had to be fulfilled. So he felt like that he was following through with God's plan on letting someone else take the job that Judas had. He felt like that it was scriptural, and I feel like that it is too. I'm going to take Peter's side there. And it said in verse 9, let his children be fathers and his wife a widow. We know that when he hung himself, that's what took place. Let his children be continually vagabonds and let them seek their bread. Also, out of their desolation place, they never had nothing. That was the family went downhill quickly. He says, let extortioner catch all that he hath, and let the stranger spoil his labor. Whatever Judas had is gone. He said, In verse 12, let there be none to extend mercy unto him, neither let there be any to favor his fatherless children. Notice that. Let his posterity be cut off, and in the generation fallen, their name be blotted out. He had kids, he had no grandkids. The Lord stopped that seed. He stopped that family tree right there. He cut it off at the stump. There's some reason the Lord didn't want Judas's grandkids running around. But let me show you what happened. This get good. He says, let his posterity be cut off, and let in generation fallen, let their name be blotted out, that the iniquity of his fathers, notice that, generations back, be remembered with the Lord, and let not the sin of his mother be blotted out. Now, we know, we read a while ago, that Mary was overshadowed by the Holy Spirit. And from that came God's Son, born of a virgin. Now, if this was his mama, and I have no reason to believe that it wasn't, there's something about her that let her sin be remembered. And there's something tying in right there that whatever, as the opposite of the Virgin Mary, this is the opposite of that.
That's talking about Judas' mama.
Yeah. Judas' mama. I hate to talk about anybody's mama, but you just about have to sometimes, don't you? Does that help any, or does that disturb a whole new can of worms? Okay. Now we know more about Judas than we did. But Bill still don't know what his name was when he was a king. We'll call him King Number One for the moment. We'll get around to him maybe next week, but I'm probably going to make you wait 2 weeks on that. Okay. Now, let's look down. Let's see. Zechariah 14. That's where we was headed. Now, Zechariah 14, verse 16 through 18. Can you go back to 16? There you go. You got a picture of this. The tribulation is over. The battle of Armageddon is over. The kingdom has been set up. Time is going on. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all nations which came against Jerusalem, which means a lot of them died in the battle of Armageddon. We know according to Matthew chapter 25, they were sheep and goat nations. The goat nations are in hell, and these are sheep nations. Left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the king. He says, the Lord of hosts, and keep the Feast of Tabernacles. Now the Feast of Tabernacles is, I think I'm right here. This was that they remembered each year, and it was a reminder of they came out of Egypt. And God placed them in the promised land. It was a reminder of where they come from. So they come up each year, and they're coming to Jerusalem, and these nations are coming from all over the world, and this is during the thousand-year millennial reign. They're coming up on this pilgrimage each year, and they're coming to Jerusalem to worship the Lord and to keep the Feast of the Tabernacles, and it reminds them of where they come from. The Lord brought them out of the tribulation. He brings these nations up, and it's reminded, look at verse 17. And it shall be that whosoever will not come up of all the families of the earth in Jerusalem, because some of them won't, you'd think, my goodness, why in the world would they not? Because those nations are still flesh. They're still Adam to the core. The same reason we get up on Sunday morning sometime, and somebody has to kick you square and see the pants to get you to come to church. That's just who we are. We resist doing what's right. Or most of us do. I know there's a few of you that don't. But I resist all the time. Don't you? Just I'm plumb ornery sometimes. He says here, they'll not come up of all the families of the earth in Jerusalem to worship the king, the Lord of hosts. Even upon them shall be no rain. Now the first thing, it ain't going to rain. Look at the next verse. That's all right. And if the family of Egypt, why is he picking on them? And if the family of Egypt go not up and come not, that have no rain, there shall be the plague. They didn't want to come. So the Lord cut the rain off, and they still didn't want to come. Some folks are just plumb hard-headed, ain't they? Wherewith the Lord will smite the heathen that come not up to keep the feast of the tabernacles. It said he was going to rule with a rod of iron, didn't it? During the, I'm not going to be one of them nations. If I was, I'm going. Because I know what's going to happen. Them people might not know what's going to happen. I see right there in the book, it ain't going to rain. It's going to get plagued. There's going to be some plagues. Well, they got the book, ain't they? We hope they got the book. Folks, we got 7 minutes. Psalms 105, verse 23 and 28. Now, why was he picking on Egypt? Who is Egypt anyway? Now, we won't go there, but Genesis chapter 10, we had after the flood, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, their descendants scattered all over the world. And the descendants of Ham, Israel, also came into Egypt, and Jacob sojourned in the land of Ham. Now that's the doorway to Africa. And this is the land of Ham. And Egypt is the doorway to all this land, and he's going to cut the rain off, and he's going to bring plagues upon them if they don't come up, because the Lord is trying to encourage these people to come up. Now, and look at the next verse, 24. And he increased his people greatly, excuse me, and made them stronger than their enemies. Verse 25. He turned their heart to hate his people, to deal subtly with his servants. Now, what he's doing, he's going back in time to the book of Exodus. That's what he's doing. And he's reminding them in this Psalms here of what Ham, the Egyptians, done to his people through Pharaoh. You remember Pharaoh? All the things that Moses and Aaron done to them, turned the water into blood, brought the frogs, the lice, the darkness, brought all that stuff, and old Pharaoh just stood there. Didn't give in at all, did he? And then when he did give in, he had a dirty plan up his sleeve. So notice that he said he turned his, he's talking about Ham, the descendants of Ham. He said in verse 26, he sent Moses, his servant, and Aaron, whom he had chosen. Verse 27, they showed his signs among them and wonders in the land of Ham. Notice that, folks. There's something about this descendants of Ham, and I'm not trying to be racial, I'm not trying to stir up a stink, I'm not trying to do anything, but get you to look at your Bible. The Lord has a hard time out of the descendants of Ham. He has a hard time out of the descendants of Japheth. That's us. He has a hard time out of the descendants of Shem. He has trouble out of all of us. But he has a lot of trouble out of these people right here. Now, we're going to look at that more in the next few weeks. And that's not putting nothing down on any particular people. Because, let me say this, because I do have time to say this. We are Japheth. We are what some divisions on applications, we're called Caucasians. We're called whites, whatever you want to put on there, for the most part. Now, that in itself, and don't get me wrong, if you try to be pulled toward that direction by everything that every white man ever wanted to do, you're going to be blinded. And black people, when they follow their crowd, they're going to be in trouble. And Semitic people, when they follow their crowd, they're going to be in trouble. And when we follow that crowd, we're going to be in trouble. The best thing to happen is come out and be ye separate and trust God's Son as your Lord and Savior. And he can make something out of you. But if you stay in the crowd, you're going to act like the crowd, and you ain't going to be worth shooting. That's what he's telling Ham. I wished I could have said that cleaner and quicker. But Ham, when he hangs with Ham, he ain't going to amount to nothing. And when Japheth hangs with Japheth, we're just going to be, what you know what he said about Japheth? Japheth shall enlarge himself, and he shall dwell in the tents of Shem. That means us people, we are never satisfied with what we got, and we're always trying to get something else that don't belong to us. That's who we are. All the descendants of Noah had their attributes, and they were all wickedness. But Ham don't like to go to church. Ham don't like to serve God. That's an attribute that has to be cultivated, and only the gospel of Jesus Christ can change a man's heart. I hope I cleared that up. We got about 1 minute. Let me bring this thing to kind of a close. And I don't have much to do next week. I got a whole sheet here, ain't I? Okay. Down in if you get a chance, the last part of that in Exodus 10, let's look at just a couple of verses there in Exodus 10. And he said, and the Lord stretched out, and the Lord said to Moses, stretch out thy hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness which may be felt. Now, look at the next verse, and then I want to show you something, and we'll try to close right here in verse 22 and 23. And Moses stretched forth his hand toward heaven, and there was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days, in verse 23. And they saw not one another. Now, you talking about dark. You ever been to Lost Sea? You ever been over when they turn the lights out? They usually turn the lights out on you. You can hear people start whimpering and crying when they do. But now, when you go in a place like that and they turn the lights out, it's dark. Now, you can turn the lights out in here, and there's enough ricochets, you can find your way out. But we're talking about dark that you can feel. Look at what he said. 3 days of it. I get scared. I was last year, we was in a bed and breakfast out in the middle of nowhere, and there's a storm come, and all the power went off. They didn't have a street light. They didn't have nothing. And it was raining, so there wasn't no moon or stars or nothing. But I'm real picky. I keep a flashlight with me all the time. And I had my flashlight. So I got my flashlight, went over there, and I had a balcony out there, and I got them doors open, and because the air conditioner went off with it. And I got them doors open and had a cover over it, and that cool air coming there. And I got back in the bed, laid there. Then I got thinking, there's a big old hoot owl or something going to fly in there, because there wasn't no screen on the door. So I let it cool off real good, then I closed it back. That's dark. That's darker. Now look close. But all the children of Israel had light in their dwelling. Look at that. Ain't that the Lord, He gives His people light when there ain't nothing but dark. Now look at the last verse. Revelation 16:10. Tribulation. Revelation 16:10. It'll jump. And this is where we're going to close. Now, during the tribulation, is it coming? Okay. During the tribulation, many of the plagues that happened in the book of Exodus before Pharaoh will be repeated again during that time. Let's just turn that and we'll close our Revelation 16 and verse 10. It's all right. There it is. Boy, I wish this was going to really get good here, but we'll do it next week. And the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seed of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness. Now you're talking about all that's going on in the tribulation, and then the Lord turns his lights out. TVA won't be able to do a thing about it. No power. And they gnawed their tongues for pain. Ain't you so glad that the Lord, He said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10, He delivered us from the wrath to come. We can read about it, but we don't have to go there. There's a lot of benefits in being a Christian, ain't there? Being saved. And I'm looking for heaven, but I'm looking for missing some things too. The more I study prophecy, the more I'm glad that the Lord is my Savior. Let us pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, so much for this night that you've given us, the time, Lord, that you've given us to look into thy word. The Lord, the reminder over and over that you love us and you've prepared a place for us, Lord, and you're going to take care of all these problems in this world, Lord, and the devil is going to lose. Help us, Lord, to be that you'd have us to be in these last days. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, folks, so much for being with us. And we'll